Welcome now to the midday for a Friday. I'm Norman Gilliland again, happy to be here in the Buck Studio, which means live music for the midday. And we'll be hearing live music from our studio provided by Myung-hee Chung, who's a professor on the faculty at the UW-Whitewater. Welcome to the midday.
Thank you.
When I look at your bio, I see that you started to play the piano at the age of four. Is that unusual where you come from?
Maybe 2 years early, uh-huh. But if they start piano, then it's usually five or six. So
really?
I started piano because instead of going to kindergarten, there was a piano teacher right across the street from our house. And the kids around the block, we just walked there twice a day and started to learn the piano. That's how I started.
So you're saying the kids on your street all took piano lessons?
Yes, it's kind of, part of the education. I mean, how far they went is,
Sure, it would vary according to various factors.
Right.
But in your case, you just kept right on going.
Yes.
Did you enjoy it for the most part at that age?
At that age? Not really. That was part of my duty, something I had to do.
Uh-huh.
But, if you're going to do it, better do it well.
Sure. So. And I assume you had a family that was, supporting you in that effort.
Yes. None of my family members is a musician, but they supported me.
Oh, none of the family were musicians?
Correct.
That's maybe a little unusual, too.
Yes.
But I gather that they were motivated also. And something clicked because 4 years later, at the ripe old age of eight, you're playing with the Seoul Philharmonic Orchestra. You're playing a Mozart piano concerto.
Yes.
You must remember that occasion.
Oh, yes. It was, it's a concerto competition up to high school students, and there was no age limit for the younger part.
So you were an eight-year-old competing with high school students?
Yes.
You must have been a very good eight-year-old because you...
they had more than one winner, but, the whole evening was for the concerto winners, and we had, I believe, seven or eight, and it's not just the piano, but all instruments, mm-hmm. too. Yes.
That was in Korea, then, obviously?
That was in Korea, Seoul, Korea, yes.
And at what point did you come to this country?
In the middle of high school, I came to Normal, Illinois, to go to high school and to study with pianist Tung Il Han, who was teaching at Illinois State University. And after studying with him for 2 years, then I went to Juilliard.
And at what point, looking back from that a bit, at what point did you decide you were going to do this as a career?
Well, when I was nine, Arthur Rubinstein came to Korea to perform.
Oh, that would be impressive.
And my piano teacher at the time, who was a graduate from Juilliard, she was chosen as an interpreter because Arthur Rubinstein being a world-renowned pianist, they thought, the organization who invited him thought he needed an interpreter who is a pianist, not just someone who can speak English.
Idea.
So my teacher was chosen. So she asked him if he was willing to listen to a nine-year-old girl.
How did you feel?
And he said yes.
How did you feel about that?
I didn't know. I was called by my teacher and said, come to this place, in such time, and then you're going to play. I said, okay.
So did you know who he was?
Well, I mean, I was told he was famous.
But
as a nine-year-old, you have no idea how famous the famous is.
Yeah. Do you remember what he said to you?
Pardon me?
Do you remember what Arthur Rubinstein said to you after you played for him?
No, because he spoke in English, of course. But afterwards, when he went to Hong Kong, he sent me a gift of a little bracelet with a note wishing me the warm career, wishing me the best. So that's when I kind of decided, yes.
I can see that would be a turning point for any pianist.
Yes.
A word or two about this Haydn piano sonata you're going to play.
This is the last of Haydn's 52 piano sonatas, and it's in E-flat major in three movements, of course, fast, slow, fast, and very jubilant, but the second movement is very lyrical, and last movement is just delightful.
Thank you.
Wonderful. The last of the 52 piano sonatas by Haydn, a sonata in E flat. And our pianist live in our Bach studio today is Myung-hee Chung, and she teaches at UW-Whitewater. Do you suppose in a minute or two you could, this is like a big essay question, I realize, but there are two things I was thinking about as you played that last of the Haydn piano sonatas. One was contrast with his earlier style, and two, contrast with, say, a composer like Mozart who had been writing at the same time.
Yes. First of all, it's unusual that the second movement is in E major from E flat major.
So the relative minor?
No, it's not relative minor. It's not dominant. Mm-hmm. It's just totally out because it's a semitone. So it's like a half step. Uh-huh. And that's very unusual. And also the earlier sonatas, even though the fast movements were, fast enough, the last movement in this sonata is exceptionally fast.
Yes,
it's
I noticed
presto.
That.
The mood he's portraying is like much more jubilant, not just kind of happy, but kind of very ecstatic in a sense.
Another contrast, I would guess, would have to do with the development of the keyboard during the long piano writing career of Haydn. I mean, you couldn't have maybe pulled that off on some of the earlier keyboards.
Possibly, yes. Because a little bit later, the piano was getting bigger, so I think he was really trying to get the most out of pianistic sound, yes.
And again, our pianist for this hour of the midday is Myung-hee Chung, a professor at UW-Whitewater for 20 years now.
Yes.
And so when we talk about this composer, Isaac Albéniz, of course, solidly a Spanish composer, but other influences in his work, do you think, other than Spanish?
Well, when you talk about Spanish, we think about gypsy music, too. And this piece, excuse me, Iberia Suite, is a set of four books and has three pieces in each. And the first one I'm going to play is called Evocación. It's like evoke the memory. I mean, the title tells itself. Starts slowly, beautiful melody, wonderful harmony. And it really has a lot of contrast even in the slow section. So this is the first one.
The first piece of the whole set of four books.
Right. This is the very first
Iberia.
One. Book one and number one.
Evocación by Albéniz.
Thank you.
The name of the piece, Evocación, it's the first of the series of four books of pieces called Iberia by Isaac Albéniz, a Spanish composer, very widely traveled as a child. He ran away from home. His father actually caught up with him playing the piano in Havana when he was like 8 or 10 years old. He was very independent. And now back to Yun Hee Chung and the piano here, the Mason and Hamlin in our Buck studio, and more music from Spain, and specifically from Isaac Albéniz. And now we're going to be doing a little bit of sort of picture postcard piano music, aren't we?
Yes. This is called El Puerto, if I pronounced it right. And it's just a region in Spain. And it's in fast two rhythm. It's 6-8. But it has all the syncopated accent. That's what makes the music so live. Live, and it's very distinctive from just kind of waltz type or minuet, but this is it's a live kind of the describing the region, all the things going on
around Cadiz, I think. Yeah. And so it's called El Puerto. It's after El Puerto de Santa Maria. Thank you. charming finale for El Puerto. And do you have a sense that there is any kind of French impressionistic influence on Albanus? Some of those harmonies sounded like right out of Debussy, but that they were contemporaries, so it's hard to say who might have gotten what from whom.
Well, it does have some of the like pentatonic element in it, but it's embedded with so many the dissonance, so it's hard to tell what was really influenced or it's just this is Albanese.
There are only so many notes, and they are composing at the same time, which is to say, let's say, first decade of the 20th century, last decade of the 19th.
Yes.
Well, we have one more from Iberia by Albanus, and it's called Triana.
Yes.
Which refers to what?
Refers to Gypsy Quarter, so it's like a kind of freestyle, and you know, has some like dance style too. It's a melody. Now we can really kind of, there's some melody in it, but that's again kind of enveloped, adorned with so many notes around it. So it's not just like a pure melody. You can hear the harmony, you can hear the direction, you know, but you can hear kind of offbeat rhythm also, you know, here in the Triana.
Those complicated rhythms make it a difficult piece?
Yes, and not only that, there's a lot of hand crossing. So when you are going up, one hand going the other, above the other hand, rather than just, you know, right hand always being on the right side and left hand being on your left side, there's a lot of logistics that needs to be worked out.
Even for one pianist, it can be complicated.
Yes.
So here it is. This is Triana from Iberia by Albanus. Thank you. Yes, you mentioned the logistics there, and you know, the Haydn also. Of course, you're crossing hands, but not like you are with the Salbenus, where the hand, your hands
no
are up one on top
no.
of the other,
yes.
and for long periods of time.
Yeah. Yes, but I mean, you know, the wonderful thing about the piece, what I like, even though as difficult it is, that he puts the melody somewhere along, and then it's all around, surrounded by so many other notes. So,
oh, yeah, I mean, it's, you know, Baroque in its way.
Yeah.
Very, very ornamented, but that's kind of a trait we would associate with Spain, I suppose.
Well, yes.
But, I mean, like all the things in this collection of Iberia,
yes.
they have a very outwardly Spanish flavor to them.
Yes.
I think one difference with those pieces with compared, say, to his contemporary Granados was I don't hear the guitar influence in these pieces that I do in so much of what Granados wrote.
No, I agree. The Granados, there's other, the pieces really can be played by guitar.
These pieces?
No,
oh,
the Granados. No, Granados pieces. Has been played by guitar, and it's transcribed for guitar. This, I don't think there's any way you can do this piece. Maybe you need more than, you know.
Two or three guitars. Maybe the entire Romero family could pull that off.
Yes.
But
yes.
It's very, very impressive, and obviously it shows that Albanus himself, who of course played all these pieces, was quite the virtuoso pianist. As, of course, you are, too,
oh, thank
to
you.
Do this, too. My guest has been Myung-hee Chung. She's a pianist and professor of piano at the UW-Whitewater. And you travel about some, too. Do you have any concerts off in a distance, or are you staying closer to home these days?
Nowadays, I don't travel as much, but I still go to Korea to perform and give master classes at the universities. If not every year, you know, every other year or something. And then we, our piano trio, UW Whitewater piano trio, we go to different states and, you know, we go perform and we give master classes and represent ourselves.
Well, thanks for coming in today.
Thank you.
Playing for the midday. It's been a real treat.